Good morning, everybody. Sorry I was late today. I just want to start off with maybe a sort of from last week's parsha. That in last week's parsha, we know that some of the highlights were certainly Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yiridas Hamon. So one would think that the B'Shalach is a very positive parsha. And in reality, there's a number of pitfalls. Certainly, Muhammad Hamalik, Sharofi, Damatara, there's a certain Rifian. There's complaints in Mara, and certainly the events that preceded Kriyas Yamsuf were also not poshut, that the Yam did not split until it was up to their necks, until the Nachshon and Amminadav jumped in. And as Medrash said, so I think one of the Sodas Parshas B'Shalach, and I think it could also be transferred over to this week's Parsha, is that nothing comes easy. There's no such thing. As when it comes to certainly Jewish people, when it comes to life in general, it's not like the only way really to be zocheh to bracha and to great things is to go through challenges. That's a person, right? No pain, no gain. Through the tsar comes the bracha. Right? That's exactly what we saw certainly with Kriyas Yamsuf. Right? Again, the Holy Yitzchak Mitzrayim came through the shibud. Also, the yam wouldn't split. The Medrash tells us that the Yam said, How can we split for these people? And so they showed Mesiris Nefesh for jumping into the water. And the idea also of the Mon only came after they complained. There's no food. There's a challenge. The challenge that took place. And I think it's certainly the theme of right, Shmoz, Ve'era, Bo, B'Shalach, certainly parshas that are filled with certainly in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, of difficulty and challenges. Hundreds of years of challenges. But what comes from this? Kabbalah Satayra. So you see that in life, as a nation, and also as an individual, when a person goes through challenging times, as long as he sticks through and he fights through and he's mechazik and his emunah and he's talking to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Yeshua and the Baruch Hu is right around the corner. That's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is teaching us. And that's what the Torah is teaching us as well. Two more ideas in this week's parasha. It says, "Ve'anu kolam yachtov yomru kol asher divrei Hashem naseh." But right, here's another example of the achtos of Klal Yisrael. Right, we know v'yichan Hashem Yisrael neged har is one, but over here it says, "Ve'anu kolam yachtov." Says the Orach Chaim, Hakadosh, "Lonis acher echem him." Nobody was late. Lo kidim echel lecher. Nobody spoke early. Nobody preceded the other person. Lo shina echem him lahashiv benusach acher. Nobody responded in a different way. Right? Everybody responds together, Nase. Ashrei Olam Sh'uma Zu B'Tocho. Shamil Yachtom Mochicho Sh'akol Yotze B'Reg Echor. There's one moment, Vos Alosh and Mamash, the same language. It was the Efshel Lirus, it's Oitim Achdusam. The tremendous, tremendous Achdus. Tremendous Achdus. And we know in last week's parasha, there's another description of Achdus. By the Mitzrayim, when the Mitzrayim are chasing the Jews, what does it say? B'Lev Echor Ki Ish Echor. And by us, in this week's parasha, it says, Kishachav Levechad. So what's the difference? Kishachav Levechad versus Levechad Kishachad. So Huttner writes in Pachad Yitzchak the following idea. He says that the Jewish people, we're Kishachav Levechad. We are in essence, we are physically and biologically one person. We're mamash one. We happen to have many different parts, but we're essentially one. Okay, we're Ishachad and then Levechad. Our returnos were united by Matan Torah. Mashiachim by the Goyim, They're not Ishachad. The only way to become Ishachad is if they have Levechad. That's what he's saying. That we are naturally and physically one. That's our natural creation. That's how we created. We're Mamash one. But non-Jews, no. They're by definition separate. And when they combine together, they get together on a common goal, so then they become one. Then they become one together. But I think also there's another message there as well. When it comes to something positive, then it's Ishachad Levechad. Then it's more meritorious, it's more significant. When you go ahead and it's something that is positive, like Kabbalah Satayra, that you can get together, you can unite, that's something that's very special. But to unite against the enemy, the fact that the Mitzrayim were united to chase us, that's not something significant or anything special. Everybody knows, right? When you have a common enemy, it's very easy to be friendly. Very easy. When you're looking up in the positive sense, we try to do something positive together, it's much more challenging to unite. And The Zibushin also brings down from the Belz Rebbe. He asks the following question. He says that on Mondays and Thursdays we say he wrote some. Right? You hear some of Shalafim, Shalashmaim, etc., etc. And then what do we say? We say, Achenu Kobeisan, Hanasun Matsar of Ashivya. So yes, why don't you say Yiratzon over there? Let it be Hashem's will. Yiratzon, right? Yiratzon, it should be like this. Yiratzon, it should be like this. So he said an unbelievable Yisod. He said that when you say the words of Achenu Kobeisan, Hanasun Matsar of Ashivya, by definition, Achenu is so strong, Achdus and Kaisol, there's unity in Kaisol. You do not need to say the words Yiratzon. Maybe Hashem's will. It's automatically Hashem's will. For other things, the other Yirat zones, yeah, you have to ask Hashem, please let it be your will. But when it comes to Achdus, there's nothing greater in a Kaddish Baruch Hu's eyes than Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael. Also, measures in Shir Hashirim is also in Gemara and Tainus, right? When there's a famine, Gemara and Tainus in Daf Tezvav tells us that they go, that the Zokain, the elder, goes to the table. What does he start off with? Achenu. Right? That's what he starts with, Achenu. Because Achenu has tremendous potency. The idea of bringing Klal Yisrael together. And I spoke about it last night as well. I saw it in Marath Wiedemann. He said, the last three words in the Saras Adibros are, V'chol Asher L'Reacha. Right? After we have, and he pointed out that there's 613 letters until V'chol Asher L'Reacha. And then that's the Torah. But what's the conclusion? What's the Tachlis of Torah? V'chol Asher L'Reacha. Everything's for your friend. We looked at Gemara Kedushin this year, right, by the Chasana of the Rebbeim, and one wouldn't take a drink from the Rabbi Gamliel. I forgot exactly who it was, and one said, "Of course we can. Of course we can take a drink from the Rabbi. Because why?" And then he's brought right from Avraham Avinu, and he said, and I think Rav Tzadok says, "What are we going to right from Avraham Avinu? That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A Kodesh Baruch Hu's Mahus is to give, right? He created the entire world, yet he's busy worrying about clothing us and giving us food. The whole topic is Chol Asher L'Reacha." Mamish to do for somebody else. Okay, that's number two. Number three is that if we talk about Kabbalah Torah, it's certainly appropriate to talk about Limud Torah. And we know David HaMelech tells us that totally Torah's Pichu Me'alpi Zahav Chesed. And I know this was addressed yesterday in the question and answer session, but the question is that so many of us, so many in the world, we don't look at Limud Torah as valuable as Zahav Chesed. Totally Torah is Pich Me'alpi Zahav Chesed. Right? How can that be? If it's so true, and that's the truth, how come that's not, we don't feel it so often? So the Chavetz Chaim explains the following muscle. He says that a king once had two servants who decided to go ahead and make him a crown. So they went to this far out place, and they made a crown, beautiful crown, beautiful gold and jewels and gems. And they were, on the way back, they were passing through a village, a rural area, with a lot of farming, farmers and non-educated people. And they said to the people, "Do you want to see what we have?" They said, "Yeah, we want to see what we have." They showed them the crown. And they said, "Wow, it's beautiful." So they said, "We'll trade you our crown for your plow." And they said, and one guy said, "No, we don't want to change this. We don't trade the plow for the crown." I said, "Why not?" He says, "What do you mean? The crown, what can we do with the crown? We can't do anything with the crown. The plow, at least, we can plow, we can make food. We can do stuff with it." So of course, the nimshal is that they didn't realize the plow equals food. It's much more, they can see it. They can see and they can feel. That brings food for them. They don't realize that if they had the crown, they can have 300 plows, 1,000 plows, and make even more food. But they can't see it. That's the pshat. By Limud Torah, we often think, it's the other things that bring us success, right? The only way to be successful in this world is to, I'm not saying a person shouldn't go out to work, Chas v'Shalom, but a person thinks, that's not the point of the idea. A person says, things that have, instant or clear reward that I can see, right? That's what resonates with me, right? Exactly the way Rabbi Volosky explained it last night so beautifully. And actually reminded me of a story. I once met a guy, an old alumnus came to visit the yeshiva, and he was in medical school at the time. And he did nicely here, but he said in medical school he literally pulls all-nighters like crazy. He studies for hours on end. And he's like, I guess it was disheartening to him, like, I wasn't able to do this in yeshiva? Like, how pathetic am I? Right? How pathetic? What's the pshat? It's exactly like this mashal of the Chavetz Chaim. When a person thinks the plow is bringing him food, he thinks he needs to get do well on his medical exams in medical school because he needs to become a doctor and because otherwise he's not going to have food to eat, so he can push himself. But when it comes to Lirat Torah, right? Okay, it's nice. I get reward. Yeah, it's good for the Jewish people. The Torah is mogain. It happens to be my Muska. I just point out, I saw last week in the Torah sheet that comes out from Mishnah, and Sheet Hashem should give it before something Yom HaVishnosov. So he says there that when Rav Moshe Feinstein was sick, Rav Shach told the students in Yeshiva they should have a rotation of saying all Sefer Tehillim. They should have 10 boys. They should take off time. I think I even want to say venture to say even take off time for learning because it's so important. Because the Torah of a Gadol, the life of a Gadol is Mogin Mamish. Why is the life of a Gadol Mogin the door? Because he embodies Torah. And Torah is a Mogin. Torah is a protection. So the reason why I got into that is because we think that, oh, what's Torah doing? Is it really elevating me? Does it bring home the bacon? Right? Do I get a paycheck after I sit and learn? Do I see my scorecard in Shemayim increase? We were having a discussion with Shana Aleph guys last night about the value of Limud Torah, about the fact that Talmud Torah is connected to Kula. Right? Gdula Torah Miyatzos and Fashos. Gdula Torah Miyatzos and Fashos. Right? In terms of the value scorecard. So how do we understand that? Because we think to ourselves, oh, we can push ourselves for other things because we can see the not the instant gratification, but the results, the rewards are much more tangible, much more apparent to our eyes. When it comes to Limud Torah, we don't necessarily see that. So even though Torah is speaking about Alfi Zohar v'Chesef, nevertheless, the reason why sometimes we don't internalize that is because Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that it's not going to be readily apparent. Right? There's an obvious reason why. If it was readily apparent that every time you learn Torah, you got the Zohar v'Chesef, so it'd be no Nisayon, and then it would cheapen it. And obviously, the whole reason why it's so valuable is because it's so hidden to us. And the Chofetz Chaim also brings another mashal about the Avera and the terrible Avera of Bittul Torah. And he says that there was once a king, there was once a peasant who was fishing through the garbage, and somehow he came to the king, and the king had mercy on him and brought him into his house. And he fed him, and he washed him up, and he cleaned him up, and sure enough, he decided, you know, he should marry his daughter. So he married his daughter, fine. And years later, they were traveling in the entourage, and this son-in-law of his saw a heap of garbage, and he ran out, and he started, like, fishing through the garbage. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean? I miss this so much. This is how I used to live. This is the good life. He's like, what are you doing? Right, that's the mashal. The mashal is, you know, we expose ourselves to so many other things. We think like other things that are, you know, are exciting. And then all of a sudden you come to the base measure, you come to yeshiva, you start learning, you're like, wow, oh, this is me in Alam Haba, oh, this is me in Alam Haba. You sit and learn, right? I'm sure anybody who's learning the Retzivus program understands that, you know, he sees it. You know, if you don't learn Retzivus, so then, there's a certain limit to the level of enjoyment that a person gets from his learning. When a person learns in continuum, then a person can almost feel it. And then the guy comes, here, come. Have a nosh. Like, come out, like, what? Like, or do something inappropriate. Like, what? What's shaychus? It's so out of character, so not enjoyable anymore compared to the Torah. So, the Yisurah of Kabbalah Satorah, of Limud Torah, certainly we have to work hard on internalizing the Chashiva Satorah, number one. Number two, the idea that it's not, Torah is above everything, but one, you still can't forget about Achdus. You still can't forget about Benon L'Chavero, because it's an amazing, I mean, obviously the two parts of Luchos, Benon L'Chavero, Benon L'Makom, and it's very obvious, right? There's no such thing as a person who excels Benon L'Makom, and he's like, wow, an amazing person, if he doesn't excel Benon L'Chavero. And the opposite is also true, right? If you excel Benon L'Chavero, you can't say you're a complete Jew, if you're not excelling Benon L'Makom. It's a hybrid, it's a combination that you're not really doing it properly unless you're mamish excelling in both areas. Have a great Shabbos.